Good afternoon and happy Sabbath to everybody. Shabbat Shalom. Welcome, brothers and sisters, dear brethren. For this Sabbath gathering unto our Elohim, this time that from the beginning from the very earliest times of his creation, when he was setting this world in order, after he made all things, after the sixth day, he ceased his work, and he blessed that day, and it is a memorial of the creation in his honor, that he is our creator, and through Yeshua, not only our creator, but our father, our loving, caring father. So we thank him and rejoice that he has, again, made us aware, given us this knowledge of this day, that even the heavenly host observe, and we as one family in heaven and on earth, as the Shliach, the Apostle Paul says, I kneel before the Father, of whom every family in heaven and on earth takes his name. So we are together with the heavenly host, coming to rest and honor him as our creator, as our father, and Yeshua, who is the sovereign of this Sabbath day. So today we will continue with our review of the first epistle of Yochanan, chapter 5, and see how far we can get. We left off last Shabbat at verse 5, which says, Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim? Our wonderful Yeshua taught us that that the Father seeks such as who would worship him in spirit and in truth. Many of us, and I've done the same thing, you know, was part of a quote-unquote large church, and all of a sudden have this mindset as if I've accomplished everything, as if I've already believed everything. But in reality, that wasn't true. The coming of faith took time, but I didn't realize that, because these organizations don't teach that. They make it sound as if, okay, you're here, you believe everything, let's move on. No, coming to faith, who is he that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim? It took me a while to actually come to have that as absolute knowledge and to really have that confidence, because there were many things in the scriptures I didn't really fully believe in reality. If you ask me, do you believe that's what the scripture says? Yes, I said, of course, that's what it says. But did I really believe that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim? It's when I came to grips with the struggle that I started to realize I didn't, and I couldn't, and that the Father, Elohim, had to make me believe in his Son. So praise him for all of us that he has done that work where we can overcome, where we can believe that Yeshua is indeed the Son of Elohim. So let's move on. I'm going to try to see if I could finish. And today I will do my best to stay within the half an hour time frame and not go beyond that. So I will try to do from verses 6 through verses 12. And again, for our brethren who may be on the line for the first time, just as we just went over the Psalms, so after I do this teaching, I will open it up to any any thoughts that Elohim has put in your hearts or questions you may have. As I read this epistle, this letter in chapter 5, I had questions. There are things that I realized I did not fully understand, but I will only explain those things that I have a level of understanding. And of course, we understand, even when we do understand a scripture, we understand it only at a certain level. It's usually more rich than what we understand. Not that we necessarily have made a mistake, but the meaning, it has more meaning than what we understand. So there's more to it than we do understand. So let's begin with verse 6 of chapter 5 of the first epistle of John. Verse 6 says, "This is he who came by water and blood, Yeshua, Messiah." And let me actually turn to another version, another version of this chapter. I want to make sure I capture all the words. I normally use from the Revised English Standard, and it leaves out some text. But I want to use the New King James that includes all of it for a purpose. So let me start again. Verse 6. This is he who came by water and blood, Yeshua Messiah. Not only by water and blood, and it is the Spirit who bears witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three who bear witness in heaven. Verse 7, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Ha'av, Hadavar, HaRuach HaKodesh. And these three are one, according to this translation. And there, verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Let me look at my other reference for a minute. Okay, I just want to make sure I know where to stop. I'm stopping at verse 12. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of Elohim is greater. For this is the witness of Elohim, which he has testified of his Son. Verse 10. He who believes in the Son of Elohim has the witness in himself. He who does not believe Elohim has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that Elohim has given of his Son. And this is the testimony that Elohim has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. Amen. So let's go back to verse 6 and let's discuss this a bit. So it says, this is he who came by water and blood, Yeshua Messiah. And he emphasizes not only by water, but by water and blood. The fact that Yochanan makes that, reemphasizes not only by water, but by water and blood, tells us there's some significance to this. And as I was sharing with my brother the other day, probably yesterday or some other day, I realized that I don't fully grasp the value of what is being said. It is something that, you know, I don't know enough about the creation, enough of human makeup, the makeup of a human body, to fully understand. But I get there's something unique about that fact. The fact that Yeshua came by water and blood. He came. Somehow his coming into this world was unique. It involved water and blood. I don't understand that, but I'm saying that so you may think about it and pray about it, and perhaps Elohim will show you or all of us what it means. But we do know that when he was going before, on his way to prepare, on his way to go to leave the world, on when he was crucified, the and after he gave up his spirit, what happened? One of the soldiers took a spear and pierced him on his side. And what did Yochanan say? He said he saw water and blood come out. That is a very telling and interesting statement, because if any of us have ever had a bloody nose or cut ourselves or seen blood in water, once it's in the water, you can't distinguish the water from the blood, right? It mixes in water real quick. So the fact that John emphasizes that when he was pierced, he saw both water and blood come out. As a matter of fact, let me turn to that portion. I'll read it for you. You don't need to turn to there. And so you could catch John's testimony, John's words as to why that is important. Let me just turn to the place where he was pierced and see John's comment there. Yes. So that's John, that's Yochanan, that's the Gospel of Yochanan, chapter 19, verses 32. Let's read a little bit about the context. Verse 32 says, "Then the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and of the other who was crucified with him." Verse 33 says, "But when they came to Yeshua and saw he was already dead, they did not break his legs." Now, mind you, they saw he was already dead, so they did not break his legs, right? But I think what's going on here, verse 34, is explaining this. "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately blood and water came out." Now, mind you, blood and water, once mixed, you can't distinguish it. Listen to what he says in verse 35. And he who has seen has testified, and his testimony is true. And he knows that he is telling the truth so that you may believe. You understand what he's saying? He said blood and water came out. The reason he says it's true is because normally that won't happen. Normally, if blood and water is coming out of something, it will mix. You can't tell the difference. But this was a special sign. Thank you, Brother Felix, for saying that. Those are the exact words. This was a special sign. And this is why he is emphasizing in verse 35, "And he who has seen has testified." And his testimony is true, because people wouldn't believe that. But he's saying, yes, water and blood came out separately. They did not mix, is what he's stating here. And this is why, going back to the epistle of 1 John chapter 5, verse 6, he is saying, because this important thing, he's saying this unnatural, unique thing about Yeshua. "This is he who came by water and blood, Yeshua Messiah." And he emphasizes, not only by water, but by water and blood. And he goes on to say, "And it is the Spirit who bears witness." So this is not a natural thing. It's by the Spirit. It's an oath. It's a sign of the Spirit, because the Spirit is truth. Let's move on to, so think about this verse, and see in your prayers what Elohim might reveal further to you about the meaning of this. Let's move on to verse 7. "For there are three who bear witness in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one." In some versions, like the Revised English Standard, they omit that verse. And there are some who claim this is a Trinitarian concept. I personally disagree that this is a Trinitarian concept at all. At least not the Trinitarian concepts of today. Because verse 7, what is it saying? Let's forget the pollutions of present-day Trinitarian concepts and look at simply what it says. So we don't negate and go against the word of Elohim because of false teaching. Verse 7, what does it say? It says, there are three who bear witness in heaven. There's the Father. Is there a Father? Yes. Is there Ahav? Yes. There's the Devar, the Word. Is there a Devar? Is there a Logos? Is there a Word of Elohim? Yes. And a matter of fact, our brother read about that in his writing. And is there a Ruach HaKodesh? Yes. And these three, are they one? Yes or no? Yes, they are. So where's the contradiction? Where's the Trinitarian concept? Now, if he said these are three different persons, then yes, that doesn't make sense. Because no, the scriptures do not teach that the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit are three different persons. The scripture tells us that Elohim is the Father, the creator of all, and that by his word, he created all things. And his word being the first to proceed from him is his son. And that also the spirit proceeds from him, being not different persons, but truly of the same essence. They're not the same persons. They're not different persons, three different persons. And let me digress a little bit. When you read Tertullian's concept of the Trinity, it's not what the various denominations of today are teaching. He did not teach that when he said Trinity, he did not mean three different persons, but rather that Elohim has expressed himself in that way, and he just gave it a term. He just labeled that whole concept of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit as being and labeled it as Trinity, but he did not mean they were three different persons. Now we know the Word became a person, and that person was Yeshua in that body that was prepared for him to fulfill the will of Elohim, which name shall endure as we sang until the sons endure. But we know, according to the book of Revelation, he has a name that no one knows yet. That's yet to be revealed, because the names are purposeful. The names are just not vain names. He came to be a savior. It is written of him, you shall call him what? Yeshua. Why? Because there's a reason you will call him Yeshua, because he will save his people. Who are his people? Not just Israel. The righteous are his people. Whoever does the will of the Father are his people, and he came to save those. And he continues to save. But he has another name. That when that purpose comes for him to do the other things he must do, his name will reflect that purpose. Just as he changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham or Abrahim. Abraham, right? Meaning now he's changed it because he was going to be a father of many nations. So likewise, Yeshua. So Yeshua became flesh. The Word became flesh. But the Word, the Logos of Elohim, never ceased to become the Logos. And what I mean by that, when the Spirit came upon Yeshua, the Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove, visible. For literally, that's the first account I've read of the Spirit coming in some visible form. But when the Spirit came in visible form, the Spirit did not seem to fill the whole universe. It's still, the Spirit still did. So likewise, the Word of Elohim, which is gigantic to say the least, when the Word became flesh, did not cease to be gigantic. We could go into that another time. One more example. When Elohim came between the cherubim in that little 3x3, a yard by yard ark, right? The Ark of the Covenant. He's told Moses, I will meet you there. And he did. He came in the bright light, in the Shekinah glory, not being any bigger than a yard. But did he cease being the eternal that fills all in all? Of course not. But he appeared in that form. So the Logos, when he became flesh, took on human size, took on human form in the body that was prepared for him to fulfill all righteousness. So let's move on. So the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness on earth, the Spirit, the Ruach, the water, the Mayim, and the blood, the Dam. And these three agree as one. You understand that? You see the difference? Because these are literal three things. The Ruach is not Mayim, and the Dam is neither. These are separate things. There's the Ruach, there's the Spirit, there's the water, and there is the blood. However, they agree. By these, we live, right? Without these, we can't live. These are the main things by which human beings live. The Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree as one. Our body is composed of Spirit, water, and blood. But they're not all the same thing, yet they work in unity, so we may live and have our being. Let's look at verse 9. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of Elohim is greater. For this is the witness of Elohim, which he has testified of his Son. So if we receive the witness of men, the witness of Elohim is greater. For this is the witness of Elohim, which he has testified of his Son. Verse 10. He who believes in the Son of Elohim has the witness in himself. So if we believe in Yeshua, as he says, believes, not just believe he exists, but believe he exists and conform and accept his teachings. He who believes in the Son of Elohim has the witness in himself. So when we believe and accept his teachings, have faith in his teachings, live by his teachings, we will have that witness because of his promises. Because he says, whoever believes, greater signs than these, he will do, right? So he who believes in the Son has the witness in himself. We will have that proof of our belief in himself, in ourselves. I think somewhere in Galatians alludes to that. So he who believes in the Son of Elohim has the witness in himself, has the proof in himself. He who does not believe Elohim has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony of Elohim as that Elohim has given of his Son. Has not believed. Has not believed what? The testimony, the proof. He has given the proof, but those rejected it. Okay? So we must not be like that. Verse 11. And this is the testimony that Elohim has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. Now that is the testimony. That is the proof. Okay? So it is something yet to be revealed among those. Because who could look at us and say we have eternal life? They can't. But it will manifest in time. And this is the testimony that Elohim has given us, eternal life. And this life is in his Son. He who has, verse 12, he who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. Okay? So this is where I'm not going to go any further. I'll continue with the rest of the verses next week. I'm not going to try to say more about these verses than what they plainly say. And this is the testimony, this is the proof that Elohim has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. So eternal life is in his Son. We could turn briefly to the Gospel of John, to Habesorah of Yochanan, chapter 1, to see a little bit about what that says. It says in the Habesorah, the Gospel, the Good News of Yochanan, chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Devar, or the Logos, the Word. And the Word was with Elohim, and the Word was Elohim, or El. He was in the world in the beginning with Elohim. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And so let me look at that what we just read. He who has the Son has life, and he who does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. Because verse 4 of John says, in Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So when we look at Genesis, Bereshit, chapter 1, where there's a part where he's about to make man, he says, let us make man in our own, in our image, in our likeness, really. And in the likeness of Elohim made he them, male and female made he them. So in him was the life, and the life was the light. He was the one who was doing the actual creating. Yeshua was the one doing that. The Logos, the Word was, the Devar was the one. And verse 7 says, verse 10 says, He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. He came to His own, verse 11, He came to His own, and His own did not receive Him. But as many as receive Him, to them He gave the right to become the B'nai Elohim, the children of Elohim, to those who believe in His name. That's in first, that's in the Gospel, the Habes, Yochanan, chapter 1, and I just finished off verse 12. So going back to verse 12 of the first epistle of John, it says, He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of Elohim does not have life. Okay, so I end here. Thank you, brethren, for listening. And now, if we have